Praise be Jesus and Mary. The Immaculate Heart of Mary is like the door by which we enter the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Or again, we could say that the Sacred Heart of Jesus is within the Immaculate Heart of Mary, so that to enter the Sacred Heart of Jesus, we must first enter Mary's Immaculate Heart. The Jesuit John Crosset, whom God chose to write the first book on devotion to the Sacred Heart, says this in his book: "The Sacred Hearts of Jesus and Mary are too conformable and too closely united to each other to allow us entry into one without having the entry into the other, with this difference, that the heart of Jesus suffers only souls extremely pure to enter into that sanctuary, while the heart of Mary purifies, by means of the graces she obtains, those souls that are not pure, and puts them in a state to be received into the heart of Jesus. She is the mediatrix of all graces, and only grace makes us acceptable to God. Only grace can purify us. And so we go to her, that we may be purified, that we may be made like her most pure heart, for whatever becomes hers is rendered immaculate. Her heart is also a model for us to imitate. The Sacred Heart asks for reparation for the ingratitude and indifference of men. And why are men ungrateful and indifferent? Because they do not consider what God has done for them. Mary's heart is a grateful heart, as is evident in the Magnificat. We had as our responsorial psalm the Canticle of Anna, which in many ways foreshadows or prefigures the Magnificat. Many of the same themes are there. Some of the expressions are quite similar. And Mary's heart is, the Magnificat is a song of thanksgiving, as indeed is Hannah's canticle. It is, her heart is grateful because it remembers the great works of God and praises him. He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, she says. The memory of God's mighty deeds brings her joy. And so she says, I rejoice heartily in the Lord, in my God is the joy of my soul. This is our first reading. For he has clothed me with a robe of salvation and wrapped me in a mantle of justice. We have the same theme of joy, of exulting in what God has done. And the Church uses these words we just heard from Isaiah as the entrance antiphon for the solemnity of the Immaculate Conception. And so this reading speaks to us of Mary's immaculateness, whereas the Gospel speaks to us of Mary's heart. And so it is as if they were spelling out Immaculate Heart. Mary was clothed with the robe of salvation at her conception, and this is the reason why she rejoices heartily in the Lord, and why God is the joy of her soul, because that grace she received in her Immaculate Conception never ended. The Immaculate Heart of Mary is the treasury in which all Jesus said or did is kept. The punchline, or the important line today, is at the end of the Gospel. His mother kept all these things in her heart. You might even say she learned them by heart. Now we keep things in our heart, or we talk about keeping memories in our heart and learning things by heart, or knowing something by heart. And what Mary learned in her heart, she never forgot. How indeed could she? For she is the Immaculate. She is without any flaw, without any defect. On her unshakable faith and that store of revealed truth stored up in her Immaculate Heart, the faith of the Church is founded. When St. Luke wrote about Jesus' conception, his birth, his childhood, he drew from this treasure of her heart new things and old. Our Lady was the only living witness to many of those events. Who could have described what took place at the Annunciation except her? Who could have described what took place at the Visitation except her? For Elizabeth was elderly already at the time of the Visitation. Surely 30 years later, 33 years later, or even more, after Jesus was dead and the Gospels were going to be written, there was no one else around to tell what had happened in those cases. Or the birth of Jesus. Again, no, Joseph too was dead by that time. And so, you know, it is this heart, this treasury, the treasury of knowledge, treasury of wisdom, treasury of grace. And Our Lady did not just store these things, this knowledge in her heart, she also meditated it. The heart must be a place for meditation. She contemplated there in her heart words and actions. She sought their deeper meaning. One of the Greek verbs that St. Luke uses, it means to compare things, to put them together, to see how they fit. And so she considered one event and another in her son's life. Now, they did not understand. No, at first, it says, the Gospel, that when Jesus answered, "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" Or the same words in Greek could also mean, "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" And they did not understand what he said to them. So why is it that he has to be in his Father's house or about his Father's business? Later, comparing one thing to another, putting one thing together with another in her heart, Mary found the reason. And I think the reason is that he was actually saying, I need to be about my Father's business. And that is why you did not find me for 3 days. Because when I finish my Father's business, I will be apart from you for 3 days in the tomb. And you will not be able to find me because I will not be there. But then I will come back to you and you will see me and have joy. And your joy no one will be able to take away from you. In any case, Mary discovered the meaning of these events, and she left it in the Gospel for us to discover what they mean. And so we too must put one thing together with another, one thing that Scripture says together with another thing that Scripture says, and think about them, meditate them in our heart. And as we grow in gratitude, we will grow also in knowledge. The Holy Spirit will help us to understand these things. And so we must be attentive to the Word of God. We must store it in our heart. Very often, we couldn't say what last Sunday's Gospel was. And perhaps even Monday or even when by supper time, we don't know what Gospel we heard. And so instead, we should be storing these things in our heart, meditating them in loving union with Jesus and Mary. Mary's heart is also a treasury of grace. And I speak here not only of her physical heart, but also of her spirit, which is the heart of her being. That heart was full of grace, as the angel said, because she found grace with God and found grace also for us. Nothing that was ever put into her heart was ever lost. None of the grace that filled her heart was ever lost. For grace can only be lost by sin, and she was and is all pure, all holy. From the Immaculate Conception, she grew constantly in grace because she was always intent on doing God's will and on living constantly in his presence. So everything put into her heart was kept safe, whether it was a word or action of Jesus or a grace that she received. Nothing that is placed in her heart can ever be lost. And so if we wish to avoid being lost, we should ask her to receive us into her heart. We should give her the merits of our good works, that they too may not be lost. At Fatima, she gave us this important message: God wishes to establish in the world devotion to my Immaculate Heart. She said that after she showed the vision of hell to the three children. And the Immaculate Heart, devotion to the Immaculate Heart, is the remedy that God wants to have in the world for the fact that too many people are going to hell. And certainly, back then, 1917, many things that are considered normal today, many sins that are considered normal today were quite rare then. And so things have not gotten any better, and devotion to the Immaculate Heart very much needs to be established. And we can establish it at least in our own heart, at least in our own life, and teach others about it. This devotion does not consist simply in saying some prayers, but above all in devoting oneself, in giving oneself to Mary, asking her to receive us into her heart. Her heart is to be our refuge in the way that leads us to God. This is what consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary is all about, devoting oneself to her, giving oneself to her. How can we know if we are in her heart? Well, what does she have in her heart? All the things that regard her Son and the fullness of grace. We will know that we are in our in her heart, if we find ourselves mindful of the words and works of God, with the words and works of Jesus, and if we find in ourselves God's grace. In her pierced heart, we will also find the memory of his passion to meditate. In her immaculate heart, there is no place for sins, so we must avoid sin at all cost. However, if we happen to fall through weakness, she will not cast us out of her heart, for she is the refuge of sinners. Rather, she will purify us. Then we will be worthy to be placed in the Sacred Heart of Jesus, to his and to our great consolation. Praised be Jesus and Mary.